you look at false teachers, you find that they are described in a lot of different ways in the Bible. One of the descriptions, though, that seems especially unusual to me is found in the book of Jude. Jude used the season of fall to describe false teachers. Jude compared apostates to the autumn or the fall leaves. He said they look this way, but that's really not the case. There are not too many references to fall in the Bible. There are a few, that being one. This morning, if you were here, and most were, we talked about spring and how that can be compared from the time of life that starts at infancy and goes through about age 20. We took the period of summer, that season, and compared that from age 20 to about age 49. We then want to, for this last session today, to look at the last two seasons, those being, of course, fall and winter. If you're going to preach a sermon like this and you get to the last two seasons when you're talking about age, this is where things become a little more difficult if you are the speaker. Up to age 50, people usually don't begin to squirm very much. But after you hit that mark, people are thinking, oh boy, what's he going to say? Someone once said that when you hit the age of 50, you are a much cheaper date. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that once you start dealing with age 50, some things begin to change. By the time you hit age 50, generally there are some changes to the body. If you talk to someone who has reached the age of 50, their hearing may not be what it once was. Their eyesight may not be what it once was. And the Bible reflects that. You may remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, "If the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved." He was referring there to the physical body. Paul recognized and he told the Corinthians, as you look at your flesh, as you look at your body, it's wearing out little by little, day by day, year by year, decade by decade. And that's right. When we start looking at life, we do not find too many things that last for 50 years. How many cars? If we went out into the parking lot and looked, how many cars are at least 50 years old? I don't think there's one vehicle out there that's that old. How many households represented here have furniture throughout the house which is at least 50 years old? Again, I think that we'd be hard-pressed to find any house where that's true. How many of us have appliances which have lasted for 50 years? How old is your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, your stove, your microwave? Major appliances don't last that long. How long do you get out of a computer? Someone says, well, maybe a couple years for me. Someone says, we've gotten 10 or 12 out of mine. Good, but not 50 years. Your tablet, your smartphone, how long do they last? Sometimes getting 20 years out of something is nearly impossible. 10 years can really stretch it. 5 years. And sometimes just getting 1 year out of an item is difficult. Imagine 50 years in the same body, half a century. It's being used day in and day out. Yes, it gets some rest. The body has so many different parts, so many different components, all trying to work together, and those parts can be easily damaged, or something can go seriously wrong. After 50 years, it's very likely the case that there are going to be some things that either don't work or they don't work as well as they should. In the majority of cases, as we look at life in this country, people live past, they live well past the age of 50. 50 is by no means the end of the line. By the time a person reaches 50 years of age, assuming that he or she has been a Christian for at least a reasonable number of years, their Bible knowledge should be pretty good. People at the age of 50 should also have a pretty good understanding of what it means to live the Christian life, and they should be doing that on a regular basis. Those in the 50s and up should be a strong and positive influence in the local congregation. Paul spoke about women, older women training the younger women, Titus chapter 2, verse 4, and he didn't give an age there as far as who's the younger and who's the older. But surely by the time a woman is 50, she would qualify at that time in life to be someone who can help train the younger women. When we think about many congregations that have elders and deacons, we find people who are often in this age bracket. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34, he gives an important principle. He said to the women who are unmarried, he said, you have some additional time, you're not married, and that should give you some additional opportunities for spiritual service. A similar point is often true for those age 50 and above. By the time people hit 50, their children in many cases may be raised out of the home, or maybe they are almost out of the home, and there can be additional time devoted to spiritual service. Now, you may have, over the years, met someone or met several who said something along the lines, I've done my time. I've put in my years. I've done my service. I've raised my kids, and I did all the things that should have been done for them, and now my life is mine. Ever hear anybody reason that way? I can name a few. That reasoning is unfortunately not rare. That reasoning is also wrong. You remember the man in Luke chapter 12? Jesus described this man, and he was a fairly wealthy man. He was the man who thought that life was all about himself. He had a lot of money. Jesus said this fellow had many supplies. This man thought that he could tear down his barns, he could build bigger barns, and for many years he would live well, eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus described that man as foolish. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. If we are someone who has used the spring years for God, and hopefully we have, and after those spring years came, we used the summer years, ages 20 to 49 also for God, and we were wise enough to use those years in a good way, never, ever be foolish enough to get to the fall years, age 50, to the next age that we're going to give soon, and say, this is my time. This is my life. I deserve to treat myself well, and well, God can just make do with whatever he happens to get during this period of life. Life always needs to be seen in terms of serving God, regardless of our age. Our existence is due to God, and the Bible teaches that we are accountable to God. Now, when we hit 50, things may, as I said, not be quite as they once were. Our bodies might not let us do all the things that we did in the past. And the Bible actually reflects this fact. I'm going to read from one chapter this afternoon, and this is going to come from the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 8, verses 23 through 26. To give you a little bit of the context, we have some information here about the Levites. God had what you might call a pre-retirement program for the Levites. God said to the Levites, when you hit the age of 50, you are no longer going to be doing what you used to do. You're no longer going to be serving in the tabernacle. God said that these men could serve as guards, and they still did, but they did not continue to officiate at services. God didn't tell these fellows to quit. He didn't say you're over the hill and you have to stop serving, but he did say there is going to be this change as far as what you do. Numbers 8, starting with 23. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, this is that which belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service in the work of the tent of the meeting. And then he says, from the age of 50 years, they shall cease, they shall stop waiting upon the work, and shall serve no more. But rather, God says they're still going to be active, but shall minister with their brethren in the tent of the meeting to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charges. Now, if we've been thinking ahead, we might be thinking, okay, I'm curious about what's going to happen when we get to that last age time. What about winter? When's Brad going to say old age starts? When does winter begin? When does that season come? Well, the ages that I've given thus far today, and the next age, I also want to suggest that they are not hard and fast periods of time. There have been several over the years who have said that age is, in some respects, a state of mind. And I believe that there's some truth in that. I've offered some specific suggestions about ages when we think about the early years, the middle years, just before the so-called golden years, and this last period as well. And I don't want to stop as far as offering some suggested age brackets. Based on a reference from the book of Psalms that we'll give in just a moment, I'm going to suggest that those fall years begin at age 50, Numbers chapter 8. And from another reference, this is the Psalm reference, go up to age 69. Whatever our age now, whatever our age in the future, we should live in view of eternity. There is no guarantee that we're going to get through the spring years. Some die during their youth. There is no guarantee that we're going to make it through the summer period. There's no guarantee that we're going to make it through the fall period. 50 to 69 years, if we get to live that long, we have lived for a reasonable length of time. That is a significant amount of time. Certainly enough to know what is right, know what is required by God, and do it. If we are a wise person, whether we are young in life or whether we're up to that age of 69, we'll always want to be mindful of eternity. If we get into the fall years and we're not yet really mindful of God and eternity, we need to get on the ball because there's only one season left. And that final season is being compared to winter. You may recall from the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, verse 10. It is there. Some older translations have the expression 70. Now that's an older way of saying 70. 70 is the same as 70. The psalmist said in Psalm 90 verse 10 that 70 years are given to mankind. Now that is a general statement. After this, in that same verse, he goes on to say that there are some who get to live to 80 years. 80, of course, would be a way of describing 80. In our time, as we think about some of the news reports that are given, we find examples of people, they live to the age of 100, maybe even a few years beyond that. Living to 90 is not exactly a major news story. Still, when we look at the statistics, a lot of people leave this life, if they make it to the final stage that we're talking about, they die somewhere between the age of 70 and somewhere between the age of 80. If we think about this final period in terms of winter, there are some great lessons. For example, when we think about winter, it is a season which generally comes upon us gradually. I can never remember a winter where the calendar said today is day one of winter and it was sub-zero that day. Generally, the calendar will say this is the first day of winter, and we might have still some great days. It may feel like fall for another month or so. But life can also operate in a similar way. Just because we hit that age that is described in Psalm 90, verse 10, we have our 70th birthday, that does not mean that we are immediately on a slippery slope. But when we think about winter, that season, as we look at our area, it does come with some challenges. When we think about that final stage of life, 70 and beyond, it also oftentimes comes with some challenges. Jesus recognized that when he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 20, he said, you pray that when it's time for the Romans to come against Jerusalem, he said, pray that your flight's not going to be on a Sabbath, that city gates would be closed. He also said, you pray that your flight will not be in the winter. The Lord recognized that in that season, even in that part of the world, trying to flee, trying to run in the winter months could be difficult. The season of winter can be hard, and as we compare them to the final years of life, those final years can also be difficult. People may struggle with health issues. Their body may not do what it used to do. They need a lot of medicine. They may at some point need to be placed in some medical care facility. As we look at our part of the world, if we're not prepared for winter, we pay a price. We see people who are unprepared for the winter months and they get stuck, or their house, they lose heat. All kinds of difficulties can arise. When we think about the spiritual part of man, we also need to be prepared for winter. When we come to those winter years, if God allows us to live that long, we need to recognize that we have come to the final season in life. Oh, I know there's some people who make jokes about years, those years. One said, it's scary when you start making the same noises as your coffee maker. I've heard all the old age jokes, at least several of them, and some of them are certainly cute. But this is a very serious time of life. The final years are a period in which we should approach them not with dread, but to have a positive outlook on them. Winter, as we think about that time of year, it can be and often is a beautiful season. You see the snow? Maybe the ice hanging off the trees, and you think, not necessarily that you want to spend a lot of time outside, but what a pretty day, what a lovely scene, what a nice winter day. Winter can be a time for reflection when it comes to the physical world. And in the spiritual realm, it can also be a time for great reflection. Winter can also be a reminder that something else is around the bend. We, as we look at winter, we think it's cold, and it's difficult getting around, but spring is coming. And if we live for another year, that is true. A new start will soon be here. In the world, winter comes before spring. A similar thing is true when it comes to life. For the saved, winter is that final season. Winter is the indication that we have come to the final part of our journey in life. When the winter years hit, our struggles related to this earth are about finished. The race is close to being over for us. The victory is within sight. The Christian can see and should see that season of life positively instead of negatively. Paul said it well. He said, I've run the race, I've finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me that crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall not give to me only, but to all them who have loved his appearing. I don't know how old Paul was. Paul may not have made it to the winter years as we're outlining that in this lesson, but he knew that he'd come to the end of his life. He knew that he'd been offered like a drink offering. And he was looking forward to what for him would be something like spring. Emerson gave some great things to the world. And he's credited with this saying, when you were born, you were crying. and everyone else was smiling. Live your life so at the end, you're the one who is smiling and everyone else is crying. I like those words. Once again, live your life so at the end, whether you die in the spring of life, the summer of life, the fall of life, the winter of life, live your life so at the end, you're the one smiling and everyone else is crying. Where are you in your season of life? It really doesn't matter, does it? Spring, summer, winter, fall. I think the number of people that we have here at this hour is broad enough to say that we have people in every age bracket. The thing that matters, though, are we in a right relationship with God? Today, tomorrow, and finally when we leave this life. We've given the invitation so many times how to become a Christian: faith, repentance, confession, baptism. We've encouraged faithful Christian living. But we're going to do it once again, and that's now. Is our heart, is our life right with God? If not, God gives us at least one more chance publicly to make things right. And that's the invitation that we extend to you as we stand and sing the selected song.